Merry Christmas. I'm glad you're still awake. It's not too late yet. It's not midnight yet, and this is midnight Mass, so Mass has to at least go all the way till midnight. So get comfortable. I think Christmas, when I was a child, I always thought, it's just going to get boring. As I got older, I began to think to myself that, you know what, it's never going to be the same. I don't know if any of you have ever felt that way, where it was in high school, where I was just like, man, where's the spark and magic of Christmas? And you would try so hard to make it come alive. You know, you'll turn on that Christmas music, blare it, you put up the Christmas tree, and still it's like, there's a void. Why won't it be there? So I remember in high school thinking, I don't think Christmas will ever feel like it did when I was a kid. You could all think back of waking up super early, going down the stairs before anyone else is up just to look at the presents, see how many are underneath the tree. Even the idea of Santa Claus coming, when is he going to come? You're looking out the window. Just that magic of Christmas. Well, I was wrong. As I've grown older, really since I probably entered seminary, and I really began to embrace the faith and press into the mystery of Christmas, Christmas became so much more magical. I love Christmas, but in a totally different way than when I was a kid. It has the same joy, the same glow, the same levity, but in a deeper sense. Think of like two couples. They first see each other, they fall in love, and they're all bubbly and they're super excited. That was Christmas when I was a kid. So bubbly, filled with all of these just kind of heightened excitement. But as I've grown in age, and I began to ponder the why of Christmas, I feel like, and I know I haven't gotten there yet, but I feel like a more matured relationship. Think of those two couples sitting at lunch together. They're not even talking, but there's a deep, intimate connection. That's the type of experience that Christmas gives to me now. I want you all just for a moment to become really silent. You already are pretty silent, but to become even silenter and just embrace for a moment the silence. Did you hear it? Could you hear it? Right now, there is a choir of angels singing the most glorious, joyful, celestial hymn that you could ever hope to hear. And I think if we were able to hear it, our heart would grow three times too big. And that weight or any type of sadness within you would suddenly dispel. And in some ways, the innermost part of your being would become almost like air. You would feel like you're levitating. And you would experience that song so poignantly, so deep within your being, that you wouldn't know if you should just burst out laughing or start crying. Right now, and I'm not making this up, right now, there is a choir of angels singing the most beautiful song. I can only imagine what Christmas is like in heaven. Have you ever thought of that? You and I were celebrating all festive. What is heaven doing? I can only imagine the glorious Christmas festivities that are taking place right now. If you all can grab your hymnal book and turn to page 433. We're going to sing a hymn. 433. And it'll be better than when I did the penitential rite. That was rough. 433. And pay attention to these words. We'll sing the first three verses.
It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old. From angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to all, from heaven's all gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. Still through the cloven skies they came, with peaceful wings unfurled, and still their heavenly music flows o'er all the weary world. Above its sad and lowly plains, they bend on a green wing, and ever o'er its babble sounds the blessed angels sing. Yet with the woes of sin and strife, the world has suffered long. Beneath the heavenly hymn have rolled 2,000 years of wrong, and warring humankind hears now the tidings which they bring. Oh, hush the noise and cease the strife, and hear the angels sing.
You guys all should join the choir. There's a beautiful quote from G.K. Chesterton that I want to share with you. It says, "The great majority of people will go on observing forms that cannot be explained. They will keep Christmas Day with Christmas gifts and Christmas benedictions. They will continue to do it, and someday, suddenly, wake up and discover why." I think our whole journey in life will be a rediscovering of the why of Christmas. I think it's so easy, and we all fall victim to this. We all come and we get the Christmas tree, we dress it up with lights, we put the garland on it, we all come in our Christmas vest, we wrap the Christmas presents, we sing Christmas carols, and sometimes I think we do it so robotically. We never stop to pause to hear the angels sing. And I know that sounds like such a cliche, but it's not. There's something, one point in history that ripped the world apart, that took reality and really totally transformed it, that took all the celestial beings and made war against each other. It's because of the incarnation that Lucifer fell. He saw that God was going to unite himself with human beings. And because of that, he fell. Think of this earth-shattering, not story. Sometimes I think that's what we fall victim to. Oh, the nice story of Christmas. It's not a story. It's history. This mind-boggling, earth-shattering, historical moment that turned the entire world upside down. And still, to this day, the angels sing about it. I pray for myself, I pray for each one of you, that something within us can be shaken awake. That we can feel maybe once again that same kind of spark and intensity that a little child has when he comes down those steps and sees the Christmas tree. That we feel the beauty, the magic of Christmas. I think when we're a kid, we always ask the what questions. What is that? It's a tree. What is that? It's a car. Eventually, we slowly grow up and we begin to ask the why questions. Why is the sky blue? I don't know. Why did we bring two giant trees and stick them in the church? I don't know. Why did we put all these lights and put them on? Why did we dress up in our Sunday best and get all of our family together to make sure we came to Christmas Mass? I don't know. The why questions give the meaning to life. And unless we answer them, we're robots just going through motions. And maybe it's easy to go through motions. But eventually it becomes boring and lifeless. I loved Christmas when I was a kid. I love it more now that I'm an adult. And why? I think that's the alarm for this homily to end. I think it's because I asked the why. I reflected upon it. I pressed into it. Here's the last thing I promise. Have you ever placed yourself in the cold, damp cave where Jesus was born? Imagine yourself entering into that place. He was born into a cave, not a manger. He was born in a cave. And walked in there, and you see Mary and Joseph. You see the little babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. In a manger, a trough for the animals. And maybe a few shepherds have just come in. And there's a certain warmth there, right? A certain excitement, just like any couple who's just had a baby. A certain kind of myrrh that's just emanating out of their being. And you enter in, and Mary notices you and looks at you. Straight in the eye. And she says, hold him. See, Christmas sometimes is experienced in a Christmas card, on Facebook and Instagram. It's experienced on just billboards on the side of the road, or all the Christmas garnish around us, the Christmas trees, our clothing, whatever. It's always out there. I wonder if sometimes we ever take Christmas and bring it in here. God, who is this vulnerable, tiny, little baby pressed upon my chest, hearing my heartbeat, and he's so small that I have to make sure I prop up his head, otherwise it's going to bobble down. I pray that Christmas can enter more deeply. And that you and I can truly hear the angels sing.